Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday. April, May, June. No, not June yet, so it must be May 3rd. And with me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm already skipping ahead to Star Wars Day tomorrow, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to Star Wars Day myself. Look for the deals on Lego.com. That's just a free little tip for everyone. Yeah, they always do May the 4th Star Wars Lego deals. John Rotolaro, how are you?
I'm good. If it's May, it must be snowing. Oh, wait, it is.
Yeah, well, you know, rain, then snow, then rain. Yep. Must be May in Colorado.
All the weather, all in one day.
Yeah, actually, all the weather, all in about 40 minutes. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Away and their carry-on suitcase. I have one. It's pretty awesome. I'll tell you about it soon. But first, hey, there was an earnings report call from Apple yesterday, and they announced numbers. And so the fast rundown is $52.9 billion in revenue for the March quarter. So that's up a couple billion from the same quarter a year ago. Earnings, $11 billion for the quarter. And then, let's see, Apple is expanding their capital returns program again. And let's see, we had iPhones, 50.8 million units sold. That's down 1% year over year. Mac sales were up 4%, 4.2 million units. And then...
Year over year.
Yes, year over year. Year over year. Mm-hmm. So, so Apple tossed out all those numbers. And what do you guys think?
What I was curious about was Tim's admission that the seasonal early discussion of the next iPhones coming out in the fall had had an impact on sales. I think some analysts were expecting something on the order of 52 or 53 million iPhones, and this lower number seems to reflect that earlier seasonal anticipation of the new iPhone 8 in the fall.
Is it really... earlier anticipation? I mean, it feels
I'm just quoting Tim.
Oh, I know. But it just feels to me like this is something that happens every year.
Uh-huh.
And we get... It's like there's two groups of iPhone buyers. The people that buy the iPhone that's available when they need it, mm-hmm. and the group of people that are always champing at the bit for whatever the next one will be.
0 day.
Yeah.
Those people.
And so those people, by this time of year... They are already highly anticipating what the next iPhone will be. And they weren't going to buy in the spring anyhow. And then there's the other group of people that just tend to buy whenever they need a phone.
Yeah, but Jeff, this season we've got a really strong idea what the iPhone 8 is going to be like in terms of the OLED display, the curvature, the Touch ID probably on the front, inductive charging. I think we have a better all-round picture because of certain leaks.
Maybe,
at this point in time.
But, unless my memory is failing me, which is totally possible because I typically don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, I feel like at this point last year, any one of us could pretty much mock up the iPhone 7. We'd seen photos, we'd seen renders, we had feature specs. And the only thing we didn't have was the physical phone yet.
Hmm.
Am I remembering wrong?
I can't remember either.
I try not to pay attention, so I'm not the best person to ask. Like, even if I could remember, and I probably could remember, all I remember was spending about half of last year going, calm down, I'm sure you can go on to live in a completely productive adult life if your phone doesn't have a headphone jack.
Oh, that's right. By this point last year, people were having aneurysms.
Yes.
Over the headphone jack.
Commence the pants wedding in 3, 2. Yeah, it was crap. And honestly, I would think by now that whatever is leaked or pretended to be rendered or whatever, I feel like it probably doesn't matter as much anymore, only because this is like the one thing Apple does reliably. Is in the fall, we get an iPhone event. And at that event, we get new iPhones. Like, sometimes we get laptops at DubDub. We usually get a peek at the new version of operating system that's going to come on the phone that they show us at the end of the summer. Because DubDub is at the beginning of the summer. So I feel like this is one regular thing. And I, so to me, this felt like a weird explanation. Maybe last year, like if we were talking about the like the quarter before the sevens came out last year, I could see where maybe this might be that thing. But I thought it was really interesting to for Tim to come out and go, yeah, like everybody leaking everything ahead of time is making people not want phones. And I'm like, how is that a thing? Like, everybody knows that Apple's making a new phone. We're probably going to get it in September, October. And that's how it works. Like, that's like of all the things that Apple does, this is like the one that isn't secret. In the fall, we're going to get a new phone. Like, the watch is spotty. The Mac Pro. Apple TV, new laptops, new iMacs. All that stuff is... is we're going to throw a dart at a calendar, and then on that day, we're going to do a thing. Maybe it's an event. Maybe it's a press release. Maybe the store just... And, you know, that's it. So it's everything from Tim Cook comes on stage and unveils new hardware to all of a sudden people shopping for iMacs yesterday and shopping for iMacs today get different choices on the Apple Store online. And that's it. So, like... why would people discussing the one thing everybody knows Apple's going to do be something that screws with Apple's numbers? I just felt that was a little, it was an odd take to me.
All right. So
maybe it's the 2-year upgrade cycle. Maybe the people who skip the 7 and have a 6S are really excited about upgrading.
That could be. And it could be that Apple is seeing lower than expected sales this time around, which
is entirely possible.
Yeah, which is entirely possible. I know we probably have more to say about that, but John, you, I bet, have some thoughts on Apple's iPad sales.
I do. One of the things that stuck out for me during the call was Tim Cook's comment that the 8.9 million iPads sales, is that right? Did I get the number right?
That sounds right.
Was more than expected. Probably marginally more. I wouldn't think substantially more, because Apple has a pretty good handle on predicting the eventual sales through reports from the ordering system and the retail stores and so on. So it was probably within a few percent. And even if they overestimated it, I think Tim Cook would figure out a way to say that they had underestimated the sales. But it does sort of open Tim Cook up for a little bit of criticism to say that in this steadily declining quarter over quarter, except for the holidays quarter, decreasing iPad sales, that it exceeded expectations. It seemed to be sort of a false sense of confidence, overconfidence, trying to spin a positive light on something where there wasn't a whole lot of positiveness. And that kind of wearies the soul a little bit. I mean, I would have preferred Tim Cook to say, well, look, we know that iPod sales are declining quarter over quarter. We're acutely aware of the issue. We're working feverishly behind the scenes to fix that problem, but I can't go into any details because we don't talk about product plans. And that would have solved the problem, because it would have got people all excited about, oh, yeah, we're addressing the issue. We're working on something secret. We don't know what it is. Tim never just reveals those plans. Mm-hmm. There's a solution in the wings. They're working feverishly. We're confident. But to just simply say exceed our expectations seems to say, like, you know, well, we don't care. We made more. Well, they didn't make more money year over year. And it just kind of hit me wrong.
Yeah, Now, the way you presented what Tim could have said, I think what he would have said is iPad sales exceeded our expectations for the quarter, and I'm really excited about what we have in the pipeline for that product.
As I recall, he's done that before when he was referring to the iPad Pros, either before or after the slightly before or after the fact. I vaguely remember his comment right after the iPad Pro 15-inch came out. It might have been January or March of 2016 when he said something about how he expected the iPad Pros to stem the decreasing tide. I have a vague memory of that. I could be wrong. But it hasn't happened because we haven't seen a very frequent refresh of the, especially the big iPad Pro. It's been, what, 18 months?
Yes,
we haven't seen any.
It hasn't been a refresh.
No. The one you bought on 0 day of iPad Pro release is the exact same one I can walk into a store and buy right now.
Yeah, yeah. November 15.
And then we could be iPad twinsies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to move us on because there's another thing I really want to talk about.
Okay.
But first, hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Away. And what Away does is that they make these, like, really fracking awesome suitcases. And that, for me to say that, that's a big deal because I am such a bag snob. I will go into stores and look at suitcases and backpacks that people tell me, this will be the bomb. It's the one you have to get. And it takes me about a minute to realize, no, it's actually just kind of crap. And so I have very high expectations. And when I got my Away carry-on, which is actually called the carry-on, and took it out of the box, I actually went, oh! And that's actually really high praise for me for a suitcase. So I dug through this thing with, no kidding, that someone's probably going to sign me up for some sort of therapy, maybe do a GoFundMe to get me some therapy. I pulled out my loop, which is it's a magnifying glass thing that you use in print and design. And I started going through the bag and looking how the pieces went together. And I was really impressed. And I can honestly say this is my go-to carry-on bag when I'm traveling now. I love the shape, the size. It's just the right dimensions so that I can pack in the stuff that I need. It'll fit in the overhead on an airplane. It has four wheels on it, and they're good wheels, not the kind that are just going to fall off as you're rushing to get to the plane because TSA made you late. And the handle is, it slides smoothly when you're pulling it up out of the bag, and it goes back in smoothly. That's one of those things that a lot of people don't pay attention to, but that's a big deal to me. And I love how it's just divided up logically. So on one side, you have a compartment where you put in all the stuff that doesn't smash down very easily. You know, like if you need to take an extra pair of shoes, your toiletry kit, things like that. Then other side, it has built-in compression straps so that you put in all the soft stuff and you can squish it down. And on top of that compression strap, it has this flat sort of mesh panel thing so that the little accessories and stuff you need for your computer, whatever, you can just toss into there. And then tucked away, you might not even notice it if you're not paying close attention, tucked away at one end of that side, there's this little pouch. And you unzip it, pull out this whole bag that is waterproof lined or water repellent lined. So you have a dirty laundry bag. You have a bag you can put wet stuff in. Like, let's say you go swimming before your flight. Now you can toss your swimsuit into there, keep everything else dry. It's like they thought of everything. And it's just a fantastic little bag. I'm very pleased with mine. And I would love for everyone else to get to try out Away's product line. So, head over to their website, awaytravel.com/TDO. When you go there, you can check out the different bags. They have two sizes of carry-on and two sizes of check bag. And use the discount code TDO. That's going to get you $20 off your bag. And that's a pretty nice deal because it's a great bag. It's one that you're going to be able to use for a really long time. And hey, you get $20 off. So that's an awesome deal. Awaytravel.com/TDO. Use that discount code TDO. Get $20 off. And thank you to Away for being our sponsor. Okay. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about today is the Surface laptop. Mm-hmm. And it was announced yesterday. So Microsoft did this big press event where they showed off these new products. So the Surface laptop was one of them. And I look at this, and it seems to me like it's a laptop that Microsoft is angling to take MacBook Air market share. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, what do you guys think about this thing?
Well, not only MacBook Air, but one of the things that's cool about it is that they've got this notebook platform, they're calling it a laptop, that spans the range from $999, which is MacBook Air territory, 4 gig of RAM. But then we've seen MacBook Airs with 4 gig of RAM, although I don't like that. All the way up to a version with an i7 and a 512 gigabyte SSD for $2,199, which encroaches into the MacBook Pro territory. Mm-hmm. So I kind of am intrigued by the range that they're encompassing there, from the economy-minded student to the Windows professional. It's because you can install Windows 10 Professional on it if you wish.
Yes. So that's an important thing. It comes pre-installed with Windows 10 S,
right,
which is a somewhat streamlined version of Windows. It limits you to getting your apps from the Windows App Store. And for a lot of people, that won't be a big deal. But because it limits where you get your apps, that means your web browser is Edge and your search tool is Bing.
And full stop. Like, let me point out, it's not, it comes that way and you can change it. It comes that way and that's what you're going to use now.
Right. And for some people, they'll be like, yeah, I don't even know the difference between an operating system and an app, so it doesn't matter. But for other people, that could be a showstopper. Now, you can upgrade this to Windows 10 regular. And if you're a student, that's free to do. For everyone else, it's $50. Although, through the end of the year, Microsoft is just making that free for everyone. But come the end of the year, if you're not a student and you buy a Surface laptop and you don't want to be limited to or if you don't want to be to deal with the restrictions that Windows 10 S puts on you, then add $50 to the price of your laptop.
But going back to what you were saying before, all that said, and I agree, and there'll be people who will do that. That said, I think there will be a significant subset of the population where mom and dad send their son or daughter off to college or to high school with this $999 laptop, comfortable knowing that they can only download vetted apps from the Windows Store.
Sure.
That's a warm fuzzy for this product, aside from its awesome good looks.
Yeah, and I am cautiously optimistic about this laptop, and that's because I got excited to a degree about the Surface Studio, which is, you know, people are saying, oh, this is the iMac Apple should have made. And I've been able to use the Surface Studio quite a bit, and holy crap, if Apple ever made that as a computer, people would be calling for Tim Cook's head.
Yes.
And seriously, it photographs great. It has an insanely beautiful screen, and you can show demos that make it look like the ultimate computer. But when you sit down and use it in real world, it's so many compromises that it doesn't do anything well.
Well, it's version 1.0. You know, Microsoft doesn't get things right until version 3.0, right?
Right. But even still, I think that the overall design and the things that they're mashing together into a single device, even at 3.0, those things still aren't going to mash together very well.
Yeah, but it's a seminal product. I mean, it sort of frames the discussion. It is, It will only grow from here and influence the industry from here.
Yeah. Will it, though?
I hope it doesn't influence everyone to make similar computers, because it's actually a pretty crappy experience overall.
Well, you know, my fantasy is, Kelly, my fantasy is a 28-inch iPad slanted back on my desk, running a Rhapsody subsystem that allows me to install and run all my macOS apps. And then I no longer have to have two different kinds of computers. I just have one big giant iPad on my desk from some science fiction movie.
Yeah, but sometimes I like to walk away from my desk. So I like to walk away from my desk once in a while, but still sometimes have a screen with me. So I don't subscribe to your update cycle at all.
Well, I mean, you know, from my desktop.
I'm interested in the new Microsoft laptop because, however practical it is, however much mileage it gets, Microsoft took a shot at it. And I feel like I think I probably said the same thing when they debuted the Surface Studio. Isn't that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
I probably said something similar, like, I'm glad Microsoft took a crack at it. And what I want out of Microsoft having done this is for Apple to go, okay, so Microsoft did this, and now we're going to show you how it should be done. Because I always really like when Apple is forced to compete, and I've said that forever. And I really want for this to be a thing that motivates them. Like, maybe we will get something. Maybe we're going to get something exceptional at Dub Dub, and maybe we were going to before Microsoft ever released anything laptop-y. I don't know. But I like to think that Apple knew that Microsoft had this new tablet-y thing that they wanted to release, and that what we will see in a month at WWDC is going to be almost a response to that. I don't want it to be the thing they should have put out that should be the thing that Microsoft is responding to. I want them to be leapfrogging. So I'm hopeful about that. I always say this.
Apple will update the MacBook Pro with Touch Bar to Kaby Lake at WWDC?
No, I'm hoping that Apple gives us new laptops at Dub Dub, first of all. Second of all, I'm hoping that they already knew Microsoft had something up their sleeves, so that what they're releasing is a response to this and not a response to the Surface that's already been out for a while. I want them to be the latest and greatest and not, you know, show something that looks like maybe it could compete with the Surface, but not with this new one. So I'm hoping that they're going to end up ahead at the end of all of this, because I feel like there's still a lot of good ideas at Apple, and I feel like we aren't necessarily seeing them as often as we used to. And maybe that's good, because what we do get when it does come out is refined and useful, and doesn't necessarily need a bunch more refinement, like out in public. Like, here, we've got a finished thing for you. We're going to give it to you. And I'm hoping that things like the Touch Bar and the Force Touch trackpad and things like that are going to become more prevalent. More people are going to see the potential in those, and that they're going to turn into the indispensable parts of your computing experience. Like, I didn't realize how spoiled I was with my Force Touch trackpad until I was trying to use my previous edition MacBook Pro, which is now Mr. Kelly's main computer. Mm-hmm. And I kept clicking up at the top without taking my hands off the keyboard. I kept clicking the top of the trackpad with my thumb, and it basically wouldn't let me click on anything. So I was really frustrated trying to use the computer that used to be my daily driver.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for me, that's a very small thing that I do all the time. And so I'm hoping that the Touch Bar becomes more prevalent, more useful, and that there are other ways that we're able to see something great out of Apple, because I feel like it's probably time. We haven't heard a lot about, aside from new watch bands occasionally, we haven't really heard about the watch, and we haven't really heard about anything else that's coming down the line. So I really hope that we do get something great at Dub Dub.
Right. And I don't know if we'll get something great at Dub-Dub, but I am hopeful that this computer is lighting a fire under Apple's butt to get them to do something more proactive about the education market.
And my hope is that it is already.
Yes, 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 yes. I agree. And we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, you're very welcome. Pleasure.
And Away, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website and check out the carry-on. That's the one that I have. And if you need a new carry-on bag, even if you don't, check it out, because you actually do need a new carry-on bag. And check out their other suitcases, too. They make amazing stuff. awaytravel.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get $20 off your bag. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.